It's bringing up a lot of old patterns for me. How do I navigate this with compassion for them and for myself? It's like, okay, boomer. Okay, boomer. Right? Did I use that right?
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka. And today we are going to discuss outgrowing people and perspectives as we grow and heal. Dean, are you into it?
That sounds right up my alley. Right up my alley is so sexual.
Totally. Like your butt. Hi, Bean.
Hi.
The joy of seeing your face on Fridays, which even though we come out on Wednesday, we record on Fridays, is blessings on blessings for me.
Wow. I feel the same way. What's going on over there?
No, just my printer talking. Just my printer making some printer sounds.
Oh, what
What's
are you
going on over there?
What you got coming out of your printer? Anything interesting?
I was just printing up some info for today's podcast.
Oh, okay.
I like to be organized and have it all together, so I print right before we're about to pop on.
I love it. I'm good. I definitely my social media freeze is over. I was scrolling this morning, and while I was getting ready, this is literally I've gone backwards 100 steps and literally stopped. You know when you're like doing something and you're mindlessly doing it and then you catch yourself doing it? Do you know what I'm saying? It's almost like you come back into your body. You're like, what are you doing? And I like felt like I walked in on myself in the bathroom, brushing my teeth, watching a video of this teacher student dance off in the high school in Florida, literally crying as I was watching
it. Get a life.
And brushing my teeth. And I was like, okay, I guess your digital freeze is over. And then I do have to say, I mean, we definitely are, this is going to be a little dated by the time this episode comes out, but I listened to The Daily, the New York Times podcast, and today's daily title was Trump's Bad Week. And I just have to say, it put me in such a good mood.
I don't like to be joyful at anyone's suffering except his.
Oh, I'm very joyful that he's having a bad week, beyond, like, ecstatic. So that's all I'm doing.
That's excellent. I'm just over here working on my printer, you know?
Yeah, I see. I see we're having different experiences in life.
We are. I was actually thinking, though, when you said you ever check out of your body, I'm not going to lie. It's been happening
like, all the time.
All the time. It's been happening to me a lot more lately. And it's sometimes it happens while I'm driving. So I have to be paying attention, but like I'll get somewhere. And then I'm like, how the fuck did I get here? Like, I don't even remember driving here.
Yeah.
And thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. Your rote mind is taking over. Thank God. But yeah, I can zone out like that too.
Okay. Okay. We're going to be like revoking our license after this.
100%. Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of our minds going, this leads me into this is a beautiful transition. Like we all know I love into our hot or hype. And for those of you who don't know, we like to just tap into a cute little wellness trend that's popular right now. And then we like to give our two cents. So today, our fun topic, which really tickles my fancy, is microdosing psilocybin.
Oh,
hi, yo. Yes. Let's go.
Yes. Hype. I'm voting hype. I mean, hype. Shoot. That's not what I meant. You know what I thought? My brain went, I'm hype about this.
I know.
Excited.
I'm not going to lie. I have that problem.
My hip-hop brain just...
I have that problem every week. We should maybe consider renaming this segment because I also like, I'm hype. That's hype. That gets me hype. You know, like
I'm
you're
going
hype
hot.
To psilocybin. Hot. No, yeah. You can't answer until I tell you.
Sorry. Okay.
So let me just tell you about it. So obviously this is about taking a tiny little bit of psilocybin, like 1/10 of a dose of a psychedelic dose. And it's supposed to help boost everything, clarity, focus, reduce anxiety, stabilize mood. I mean, all the things, like almost like a miracle drug. If I haven't already given away my perspective, and this isn't just for Silicon Valley, like bros, which is where I think it started, where they
Silicon Valley,
Silicon, Silicon Valley bros. This is like everybody, like your next door neighbor, teachers, artists. Can you imagine your kids' teachers like tripping balls in the middle of? No, this isn't about tripping balls. This is about taking tiny, tiny amounts to help just kind of elevate you a little bit. Anyway, there are a bunch of emerging studies that are saying that they may lift mood and help support problem solving, which is really an epic little side effect of mushrooms. A double-blind study in 2022 that said that participants felt more focused and creative, and there's a huge anecdotal wave of people just being like, it's amazing, it's amazing, it's amazing. And it's kind of also elevating energy, which is nice for people who are like, I don't want to have coffee and then crash. It's a more like stable elevation of your energy levels. So I get it. I mean, obviously I get it. But here's for the bad stuff. And you know, I think I've mentioned this like 16 times on this pod, but there's a documentary, Fantastic Fungi, which once you watch that, are you rolling your eyes? Because I always talk about it.
No, I said, oh.
Oh.
I made you watch it, Bean. Remember?
It is so incredible. I encourage all of you to watch it. And basically, you can't hate on mushrooms after you watch it ever again anyway.
No. They're magical beings who are
They really are. But there's criticism, of course, from a bunch of uptight bros. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of people are saying that they think it's placebo effect, that there's not enough studies. There hasn't been enough scientific evidence of any of this actually working, and that it's just a lot of talk and placebo effect, and that it might just be too early and there's too much hype around it. So people are like, yeah, it works. And then other people are taking it and saying it works. Another concern is safety, is it's illegal. So it's not regulated. And PBS reported that, this is my favorite, that it's not, I'm kidding, that ER visits are rising because people aren't clear about what a microdose actually is. So I'm envisioning like ERs filled with a bunch of people like tripping their faces off, like touching the wall and being like,
talking
wow,
to the
doctors. Yeah. Super chill and happy ERs. other safety concerns are that a lot of like mainstream companies are now coming out with all these different mushroom products. So they'll be labeled with the ingredients, but mushrooms are notorious for being misidentified when collected. Because they're all so cute. They all sort of look alike. So they might say it's one type of mushroom that they're putting in and it actually is another one, or the dosing is incorrect. And there's too much inconsistency for people to be taking it safely. And that we're just always chasing substances and whatever, what have you, to make ourselves feel better and feel lifted and energized instead of just going back to the basics. Anyway, I guess I don't even have to ask you. You came right out before I even explained to you. You're hot.
Well, look, I think anything that's like abused is dangerous.
Right.
And I think that, you know, wanting to do something to disassociate from your life and body is also something we should look at, because that means that there's something deeper. But I don't experience psilocybin, especially microdosing. I've been microdosing forever, as a high. You feel a noticeable difference in the other areas you mentioned. And for me, it's anxiety. So I'm all hot, because I think it is a very natural way. Otherwise, you know, there's a chemical way that I think is very accepted, but we have a hard time when it's the natural world. And I think we have to accept, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but that's a lot of influence from the pharmaceutical industry. Pharmaceutical industry has also influenced the way we look at LSD. So I think that it's a natural way to address some of these things that we're all going through. I've also talked about openly doing journeys where you're taking way more psilocybin and truly seeing like God. And that has been really life-changing for me. So I really think I'm really excited to see how much effort is being put into studying this and that science is taking it seriously finally. And I think that the more that happens, the more mainstream it'll become. And as long as it's not becoming escapism, hot.
Right. Totally. I totally agree. And I think in terms of disassociating, I think psilocybin, for me personally, is actually keeps you more in tune with who you are. It actually opens up areas that you haven't really paid attention to. So I think for me, psilocybin, and for a lot of people, is the opposite of disassociation. It's like you have to be ready to really explore yourself. And these people are not doing it to disassociate. They're doing it to enhance important elements of being a human, like focus and creativity and things that we all need. So hot. We are hot for mushrooms over here, y'all.
We're double hot.
That's a good merch idea if we ever come double up hot. With our merch store. Hot for mushrooms. Anyway. All right. So let's get into it. Let's get after it.
Let's get into it. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about outgrowing people and perspectives that heal. And the reason we decided to do this is because it strangely has come up for both of us a lot recently. You and I talked/cried a couple days ago, in fact, over this idea because it's jarring. It's a little scary. So I'm just going to sort of start. I'm going to dive right in. And I think I'm assuming that most listeners here are joining us because they are currently on or looking to get on their healing journey or their healing path. And
or
for
spiritually
me
curious.
Spiritually curious, exactly. And for me personally, I feel like I'm going to cry, which happens all the time.
Wow. I mean, I think we set a record. We're at 11 minutes and 35 seconds. Let's go. Get those tears rolling.
This podcast for me has just been such a massive tool for my own healing journey. Like to have the ability and the luck to be able to come every week with my best friend and somebody whose brain inspires me daily and helps me see things and have these deep conversations and these new perspectives. Like how often do you really get to do that with somebody that you deeply care about, right?
Why would you keep making it?
Yeah. So anyway, that's why I felt like that was probably part of my path to why I feel like I'm outgrowing people and perspectives is that I've been on this path, especially since this podcast started, where I've been awakened to so many ideas that have shifted not only how I see things, but how I feel internally. And it's responsible for a lot of my growth. So thank you. Anyway, so what happens as we grow is a lot of our old survival patterns kind of dictate how we show up in the world. As you know, this is basically the core of your work. So we operate from that perspective. And then when we start to heal and we move away from those old destructive patterns and we create new ones, which I decided is sort of like cleaning your computer with viruses, like cleaning the viruses off your computer so it can run better. You're welcome. Anyway, as you start to move away from those and you start incorporating these more healed mentalities, you start to feel differently when you're in certain dynamics and certain friendships and certain spaces. And you tolerate certain things in a different way. Often for me, at least, it's been I have a lower level of tolerance, which I also think is just a product of being 43, but I also think it's a product of healing. Like you realize what shit you're not going to take and what shit you can take. You know what I'm saying? You're nodding your head.
Absolutely.
You got one? Do you have like a solid example of shit you used to take that you no longer take?
You know, I think that it has more for me to do with taking up space and not being allowed to take up space or people who dominate a conversation. I used to really allow that. And I noticed as I get older, I will either just kind of walk away from the conversation, obviously not abruptly, but I find myself being like, I'm not interested in this conversation versus before it was like, ooh, getting a person to like me, doesn't matter who, I'm going to be a really good listener. And I am one. And so, you know, I think that for me, that's the clearest example is like, I'm just not interested anymore in people who are not interested in me.
Yeah, you actually taught me a nice life skill in that area. Your rule now is if somebody is talking to you for 5 minutes that you just meet and they don't ask one question about you and just continue to discuss themselves, then you're sort of like, okay, we're not aligned.
Right. Got you. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's all part of it because as you start to heal, you have a better sense or a newer sense of new boundaries and you have a more self-respect and you're nervous. You start to notice, I think, when your nervous system feels dysregulated versus more regulated, because that's a huge part of the healing process.
I think I just want to name that it's not necessarily easy just because you notice it. Because system is still telling you, dictating a certain way of being. So for me, it's people pleasing, obviously. And right. So just because you notice it, or I'll just speak for myself, just because I notice the no in my body doesn't mean I act on it every time. It's almost like I'm still running that outdated iOS sometimes. And that is when it feels, I'm sure I'm jumping ahead on your outline, but that's when it feels really shitty. You know, it's like when you know and you're doing it while being aware, that feels extra shitty.
Yeah,
that's
it kind of causes
crying
shame
about the other day.
It ends up causing a lot of shame. I totally agree. But I think that that speaks to what you often say, which is that healing is not linear. So that you're not just completely healed one day and you wake up and you understand all of your boundaries so clearly and you can implement them all the time. I mean, like some days we're all having worse days than others and you might feel less empowered on a certain day and you might retreat sort of to older habits that feel safe and comfortable because that's often the easier path.
Right.
And it's not easy. So a lot of it, when I was like looking into it, the word grief was used a lot, which I thought was an interesting term because you're not only grieving that you are no longer feeling the same with certain people and certain environments, but you're grieving like almost who you were. Like it's a past version of you that you lived with for so long and suddenly you're new. It's almost as though while it's healthier to be that healed, you don't recognize yourself. And it can be a little frightening. And I think that also speaks to you probably going back and forth sometimes because you're more used to that version of yourself, of course.
Well,
and, so
and there's
everybody
so many
around
stories.
You. What?
Yeah, there's so many stories, I think, around changing. Like, oh my God, am I an asshole? Am I selfish? Am I not being friendly? Am I not kind anymore? Like, you know, and then if it's echoed to you by the people around you who are noticing you change.
Right.
I went through this with my sisters when I moved here. Like there was a little like, what is up with you? Like you, where did you go? Why are you not, you know, fully present? But what I learned is that some of that was, I need to reach out. But some of it was like, I was so overly available for everyone else's stuff all the time that when I started to focus on my own, it felt, you could feel my absence. And people aren't saying things even with a negative intention.
100%.
But if they notice the change and you can detect the tone of voice or the disappointment in their voice, then it's even harder to convince yourself that you're not being an asshole because others seem disappointed in you.
100%. And that I think causes a lot of self-doubt and uncertainty. And like you're healed, but you're also questioning like, wait, am I a total jerk or am I healed? I can't figure it out. And that is really important, I think, as this is happening, to pay attention to those around you and see how others are shifting. But I also think it's important to pay attention how you're starting to feel. Like we all have, well, some of us have people, it can be family, it can be friends, it can be coworkers, in our lives that once felt a certain way and now feel differently. And I think, like you said, a lot of people want to blame themselves rather than say, maybe this is just something that I've naturally outgrown, whether it be through healing or in a new phase of life or what have you. So I think it's really important to recognize how your body feels, how you feel when you're in dialogue with them, how you feel when you go to make plans with them, or if it's a space, something that just no longer suits you, how you feel, how your body feels, how your mind feels, how you feel when you're around this person or in this space. Does it feel the same? Does it feel different?
Yeah.
And just sit with it. I mean, this isn't like an overnight process where you wake up and you're like, well, this friendship's over. We just had this listener question recently, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Somebody wrote in and said, we've been friends for like 25 years and it just doesn't
fit. How do I break?
Yes. What were you going
to say? I think that you said grief, and I was going to say something about that. Like you said that you're grieving the relationship and you're grieving your own self changing. I think for me, it's also grief of it not looking the way I wanted it to look, or the expectation I had not being met. Does that make sense? Like, is that different than the other two?
Especially, I think, as you're healing and you have a certain, like, you're putting in all this hard work and you expect it to show up, like, the end result to be a certain way, not to be like, oh, now I feel ick in this situation that once brought me joy. Like, what kind of healing is that?
Right. Totally. Or I wanted to have a lot of fun with this group, or I wanted this group of friends to be really deep, or I wanted this kind of intimacy with this person, and I visualized it and I saw it clearly,
right?
And it ain't that. And that can be really disappointing for me.
And again, lead to a lot of self-questioning, self-doubt, uncertainty about what's going on. And I do really believe now that when we heal, I mean, I'm very into frequencies and energies now. So I do believe when we heal, we are emitting, it's not a better or a worse. We're just, we change our frequency. We change the energy around us, which may have once fit really well with other people or other places or ways of seeing things, but now is just not like an energetic match. And that's okay. That doesn't have to even be a bad thing. It just is a reality that people need to face and pay attention to. So I guess now, what do you do?
What do we do?
Do you just go and cry?
I love that I get to ask you. This is usually what you jump on my lap. What do we do?
Well, I think we talked about it with a listener question a couple weeks ago, and I'll just recap here, is that this doesn't have to be like a today job. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, I've outgrown you. We will stop speaking from this point forward. It can be, I think acknowledging it is the first step, is being aware of it and not accepting it, not embracing it with shame. Just saying, this is just what it is. That's okay. How am I going to handle it? I think this gets overcomplicated when it's family. But you can, what I also want to say is, you can really, doesn't mean you don't love somebody or you don't care for them. You can hold tremendous amounts of love for somebody and also not be very close with them, and understand that they filled a very important role for you. And it may not be like that. You may love them as a person, but you know that it just doesn't sit right with you anymore. I think also, speaking to how we develop as we heal, we develop, I think, clearer boundaries, healthier boundaries. That's one of my tips, is implementing your boundaries that you are using in any new relationship that moving forward, and implementing them in the old one. And whether or not that person can meet you there is out of your control. And that probably in its own will cause the relationship to sort of dissolve slightly if they are not interested in meeting you there, which is A-okay. As we grow, people around us often do not grow, and we do outgrow them.
Well, and also, don't assume the worst about what it's going to feel like as that relationship changes.
Yeah.
Because I think we assume it's going to be painful and hard or awkward, you know, just to downgrade it a little. And often what I find is, and this could be very unique to me, but I like really become close quickly because I like depth, right? I don't do shallow friendships. I like to be really close. And I think that what I'm realizing is, just because that's my definition of friendship doesn't mean it's everyone's definition of friendship. And the shift that happens in me to realize that and maybe take a step back or not share as much, or actually for me, what it is not push the other person to share as much or to have as much awakening or understanding of their life, that when I shift my energy, it's actually a relief. Because they're not at that love frequency. That's not their bag. That's not what they want.
And it's cool, and
it actually makes the friendship more chill and has less awkwardness in it or pressure on it.
Right. Less expectation.
Am I making sense? It's like my expectation of what friendship is doesn't necessarily have to be what the friendship is. And I can like adjust my frequency to other people, then I'm putting in less pressure, and then they're feeling less pressure, and then it's just flowing a little more naturally. And maybe, yes, I will say I can be disappointed because I want it to be something else, or I'm looking for more depth, but it doesn't mean the friendship has to go away. It just means the quality of it shifts or the frequency of it shifts. And, you know, I think that it's really important, at least for me, to remember that one person is not everything. So I think you said this to me, like, you know, and TJ was saying it, like, you know, you put things in, well, you are everything, Bean.
Okay, thanks. I just gave her the finger for those of you listening.
Right. But no, what I mean is, like, you can have relationships that fill certain buckets and 100%. Not others. and that's okay. And expecting, you know, this one relationship that is just pure joy and fun to also be, you know, depth and healing.
Right.
Can
might
set
not,
you up
might not all be
for
there.
Disappointment. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I think though, while that is true that you don't have to fully cut people off. You can sort of shift them around in ways that make sense for your new boundaries and your new vibration and your new energies. I think though, sometimes you do have to let them go on top, and that's also okay. And I think that will create more space for the friendships and the relationships that you are actually looking for, especially when people's time is so valuable right now. Everybody's so freaking busy. You know, yeah. Like you can only see so many people on the weekend. You can only grab a drink with friends like so often between everyone's schedules. So if you're using it on somebody who's not even like, you know, hitting the mark with you, you're like, shit, I'm basically draining what I have, like the time I have to fill my cup, I'm draining it instead. So if you do end up slowly putting an end to that relationship or that dynamic or that way of thinking, you'll make room for greater and things that are more aligned with where you are.
What is something that you're committing to yourself to shift this for you?
Me?
Yeah.
Don't ask me questions. What do I think is that I am going to work on removing the guilt and the shame around my growth and my lack of desire to be around certain people and to just let it be. And also not feel like I need to be like, everything doesn't need to be all or nothing. I don't need to, like you said, like I can keep certain people in certain spaces and just leave them there. And that's okay. Yeah. And they can fill whatever small piece. Like, I think this is particularly useful for people who are struggling with, I feel like family is a little harder, honestly, because it's family, it's blood. Mm-hmm. You just have this like lifelong, it's hard. Not saying that friends aren't the best too, and that you don't have friends who have been 35-year friends, but I think this is extra hard when it comes to family, and that I think people paying attention to the guilt and shame and understanding that you can have love and also have distance.
Yeah.
You? What about you, ma'am?
I am noticing myself deciding very clearly not to give my whole self when I first start becoming friends with someone. Not to like be so leaned in and all in. And what that means for me, just to be specific, is like I can be very, very, very thoughtful in the beginning of a friendship where I am anticipating your needs. I'm the one reaching out. I'm the one checking in. I'm the one that's available when you need me. Like I'm very present and available. And I think what I'm starting to do is like, well, maybe we earn that with each other. Maybe you don't get the full enchilada right away. Maybe
that's how you and I have always differed. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we get to know each other and we build this incrementally. Because I can be very like, oh my God, I love you. Like, let's go. I can feel it. I can feel your spirit. And my thing has always been, we talked about this when we talk about like all of my relationships, including my first marriage, I see your higher self. And I fall in love with your higher self. But oftentimes you don't see your higher self. And so you're not coming from that place in a relationship with me. So I think for me, it's like just leaning back and just observing and letting it evolve slowly.
I know. I kind of love that about you though. And I think that's why a lot of people fall in love with you. You're like, let's go. Like right from the start. I encourage you to still show up as yourself. And then see where people meet you. That's all.
It's not about changing who I am. It's that I overextend myself. It's that I don't match the vibe. So I'm the one reaching out. I'm checking in. I'm present. I'm available. And I'm not stopping to be like, am I getting the same energy in return?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can.
I don't want you to
think
shrink,
about
though.
The friendship.
Yeah.
No. But think about the friendship I'm talking about. Like right around last year. And you being like, yo. Right. You see what I mean? It's like, it wasn't that you were saying shrink, you were very rightfully being like, why are you so available to this person?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Boundaries, healthy boundaries as you heal.
Well, Bean, that was great. Thank you for leading us through that. And you know what? I think that even if like we didn't have some scientific revelation to share on this one, it is so healing just to hear other people navigate this. So I hope that's how it feels if you're listening.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a science. This is just a really emotional.
I said, this is life.
Yeah, this is just fucking life, man. Deal with it. And we're just trying to help you deal with it as best we can. We're dealing with it too. So we're just letting you know as we do it.
Yeah, man.
We're like your life taste testers. Anyway, into our listener question.
We love it when you guys write us. Thank you for those of you that are emailing us and sending us listener questions. Don't forget to do that because it gives us more to respond to.
It's maureenmelissa@gmail.com, which I just think is the sweetest little, it's like our wedding email. You know how people do like wedding websites? So email us at our wedding email, maureenmelissa.com.
Tell us if you want the steak or the fish choice.
Tell us if you have any dietary restrictions. All right, listener question, or questio, as I wrote. This is a tricky one. I've done so much inner work to parent my four-year-old in a way that feels emotionally attuned. We just stayed with my parents and they openly criticized my choices and told me I'm doing it wrong. It's bringing up a lot of old patterns for me. How do I navigate this with compassion for them and for myself? Aww, like, okay, boomer. Okay, boomer. Right?
That's all you say. That's all you say to your parents. Okay, boomer.
Is that what? And then you you're welcome, listener. You're welcome.
I feel this one because what we want more than anything, especially as a parent, is for our parent to be like, you're doing a good job. You know, like there, it just means so much to me when my mom tells me that, like, you're such a good mom. And I think I can hear in this question that desire to be seen as a good parent. And I think this is what I'll say. Just because they're not voicing their amazement at the way you're navigating your child doesn't mean they don't feel it. I think a lot of parents have a hard time expressing pride as they get older, or maybe that's just how they've been. I notice that with my clients a lot, where they just want to hear it and they can't get it out of them.
Aww.
So the first thing I would say is, you know what I'm getting is that like your parents actually are really proud of you, but maybe their way of showing love is vigilance. So trying to point out all the ways that you need to do it better because they just want you and their grandchild to be, you know, thriving, and they don't know how to recognize a new way of doing things as positive because change in our brains can always signal threat. And so maybe they're just in fear, but deep down they're feeling pride. And I think that what that means about the way you show up is that you are able to witness their reaction without imbibing their reaction, without taking it in and being a part of the narrative. Like, oh, there you are having this reaction because you're uncomfortable. Interesting. It doesn't mean anything about me. You have to believe that what you're doing for your child is right for your child. And nobody knows better intuitively about your child than you do. Agreed. And so I think look to your child for validation about how you're parenting them and no one else, because your child is the one to give you the signal.
Hashtag signal podcast.
see what I did there?
I did. And I approve.
Thank you.
I actually think this was a great question to tack on to the end of today's conversation. Cause what this question screams to me is healing, is healed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to immediately say the fact that you say it feels emotionally attuned right there is evidence that you're a good parent, that if you are listening to your intuitive maternal self, you already are off to an amazing start and you're slaying the day. And that you said it brings up old patterns for you, which means you have worked hard to heal from those old patterns, which were most likely set into place by your parents. Unknowingly, even with love, they grew up in a different generation and a different time with different parents and probably did their best. But their best may not be what works for you in your life. And what I'm hearing is you've healed and it feels uncomfortable being in a dynamic that no longer matches the energy of your newer healed self. And that's okay. And it doesn't mean they don't love you. And it doesn't mean you're not doing a great job.
Hear, hear. Ditto. Agree. Yeah. Bean, thank you for guiding us through that episode. All of you that listened, thank you for joining us for another episode of Signal. Please make sure to come back in 2 weeks for a new episode. And if you liked what you heard, share the podcast far and wide. Thank you all. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.